Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
You like to refer to yourself as a grinder.
Thanks, Scratchy.
Can you teach guys how to grind, or is that innate?
The TB12 method is more than just better training.
What kind of question is that?
This is not a good Patriots team. I've been saying it all year. I think teams can take away Brady.
How do you like being called the GOAT?
He's the LOAT.
I don't see myself in that way. That's not a value I've ever put on, you know, me playing. A lot of things that guys can do that I can't do.
Aaron Rodgers has been majestic.
Right now.
This area in general, this is like where I lost my radio virginity.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. As we said, Lombardi will join us at 4:30. Said some interesting stuff on the podcast, and we'll throw it out to him and see what how he responds. Let's go to Danny. He's next up on the board here on EEI. Hi, Danny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, guys. Danny.
Hey, you know, we were talking about you guys were talking about the Patriots game this last week, and I'm thinking, I watched the game, even though I'm down here in South Carolina, Patriots are my team ever since Grogan was in the league. And what I seen this week was a lack of a game plan. I mean, you're running Allen straight down the field. I mean, the guy in college, cut him across the middle. Do something. Except you now, because what happens was they're able to put two people on our receivers. We don't have Gronk. We got nobody big except for Gordon. Gordon's hands hurt. You know he's not going to try to catch the ball all that great unless it's right to him. And Edelman's having a subpar year for him. He's still a great player. I love him to death. But
he's having a good year.
Nobody's trying to get open, and we're not game planning. You know,
What about the other weeks when they win? What about when they beat Green Bay? What about when they beat Kansas City? Were they game planning that week, and they just on these other weeks said, "Screw it, we're not going to game plan."
Last week and the week they played Detroit, they didn't game plan.
Of course, they game plan. They just didn't. The game plan didn't work.
Well, then make some adjustments. I mean, you have a tight end. Granted, he got hurt in the middle of the game, but you got him running straight down the field. You don't have him going over the middle.
Who are we talking about? Who are you talking about?
You don't have
Allen.
He's not a
tackle. He's not a catch. He's not a receiver.
He's an extra tackle.
He's a blocker.
He can catch. I'm telling you.
I agree with you.
Oh, stop.
Oh, come on. Did you see him in college?
Yes, I did. That's my issue.
How long ago was that?
Well, it was a few years ago.
Really?
Still catch.
Well, listen, you know, he may be able to catch. The problem is that nobody wants to throw him the ball.
He's a blocking tight end.
So it doesn't matter. That's the problem. Nobody wants to throw him the ball.
Listen, this whole idea of when they lose, they didn't game plan, and when they win, they game plan, makes no sense. They game plan every single week. And when they lose, the game plan didn't work, or players didn't execute the game plan. Something happened. But this whole idea that, they took 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off,
we're not going to game plan
today. We're not doing it.
Didn't work.
Yeah, we're playing Detroit or whatever. Do we have the Matt Patricia stuff talking about the Lions? Do
That's
we have that stuff
good
today?
Stuff.
Matt's having some problems. He's not going to make it. He is not going to make it.
We're
going
to have to.
So he had a problem in that they were playing indoors. And that's where they play their games, right? And he's practicing in the snow, and he's wearing shorts like he's Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. Hardo.
Yeah. All right, so why are you doing that, right?
Right.
You're doing it for a reason.
Right.
Yeah, we play indoors. I'm trying to toughen up my team.
Indoors.
Just expect the unexpected. Anything could happen. Be prepared for anything.
Right, the roof could open
up.
Okay,
fine. Go out there and practice. What's the big deal? Right. It's his team. And he's got, like, the media questioning him?
Yep, here it is.
Last Friday, we practiced inside. We played outside. Miami week, we practiced outside in the quote-unquote cold, but we played in 112 field temperature game. Again, it's about the preparation. It's about how we practice. It's about our execution. And then it's about how we perform on Sunday. That's all that really matters. So that's just all we're trying to do. There's no more discussion. There's no more conversation about it. I'd like to move on and show a little bit more respect to Carolina, the Panthers, Coach Ron Rivera. We're going to be practicing inside today, just so everybody's clear. All right? Make sure everybody's good with all the head coaches in the room on that. Everybody good there? So, again, there's some wind out there, some gusts. Probably a good idea to practice inside and make sure we have some good timing. It's all based on what's best for the team at that moment. We good? Great. We got any questions about Carolina?
I love it. I actually like this.
I like it too.
I love it.
He thinks he's Bill, though. It's not going to. It's not going to work.
Oh no, no. He's
now you he, got you got to win to be able to do this, and he can't.
No, he's what he said. He put them in their place. Ryan, give me just the first 20
like
seconds, right, when he talks about where he played and how they did it.
Last Friday, we practiced inside. We played outside. Miami week, we practiced outside in the quote-unquote cold, but we played in 112 field temperature
That's it.
Game.
That's it. Not that he owes them any sort of freaking example, because he doesn't. All he says, you know, I do what's best for the team. But the fact that he keeps shifting it up and mixing it up is exactly what this team needs.
Make sure everybody's good with all the coaches.
It's the unexpected. It's never feeling, and it's less about the cold. It's more about never feeling comfortable, right? In what's coming up next, never knowing what's happening. So you're always prepared.
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the plus. Every day you come in and ask me questions, and you're just kind of like.
I like this.
Well, that one was stupid, though. This one was stupid.
It's like, so the Patriots go down to Tennessee, and the footing's not great, and guys are slipping. All right, what are we going to do? Are we going to let this, like, we get in our head all game long? Are we really going to let this ruin our game? Or are we going to sit there and say, listen, we practice in this, we play in this, it happens all the time. And what that does is, like, forget about how cold it is, forget about how windy it is or how rainy it is. Let's just go out there and stay focused and execute. And then when it happens in a game, you sort of train yourself like, hey, just like in practice, we weren't thinking about the cold. We weren't thinking about the rain. We weren't thinking about any of the conditions. You know, it sucked.
We just did our job.
So it's you're sort of showing a group of players that play indoors that, hey, when you go on the road and it's cold, because by the way, they're not very good in the road. We got to adapt sometimes. And we're a little bit too soft here playing indoors and practicing indoors all the time. Be ready for everything.
By the way,
I love it.
The quarterback's got a horrendous road record. It's just disastrous. I just don't think he's going to make it out there.
You know,
I just don't.
They didn't like him from the jump.
That's right. Well, he had that incident that they brought up.
The left part of it, and Caldwell took him to the playoffs. So they're giving him no respect whatsoever.
Just be a little respectful. I'm asking to be a little respectful in this.
They don't believe him. He's just another Bill Belichick disciple. He's another mini Bill thinking that he can do whatever he wants. So they challenge him. They ask him these questions, and he's right. A bunch of head coaches in the media, like any of them, have a clue. And you said it, Lou. Listen, you may not be in a situation. What their next three games are indoors?
Yeah,
right.
So I think four.
Next four games are. But and it doesn't. Who knows if they'll make the playoffs? But what if they do go out in the road? Maybe they don't have another opportunity to practice.
They're
in the
not
snow.
Making the playoffs.
Make sure everybody's
listen.
Good
so what is this? Their galvanizing moment? So they're this is it, right? Is Green Bay's gonna go? go ahead. No, that's for Mutt. And Reamer and Tomasi.
We got a lot of moments going on with the show.
That's a lot of changes.
Victim of the moment.
Victim of the moment. One shining moment.
So they have the Panthers.
Big time moment.
Panthers at home. And they have the Bears at home, right? And then they have the Rams at home.
How many games do they have left?
And the schedule's done by that time, right? Mm-hmm. They're done. They're cooked by that time. Schedule gets easier after that. You go to Arizona. Then you go to Buffalo. And then you close it out with the Vikings and the Packers.
Matt's doing the same thing all these other Bill Parcell disciples have
messing
done.
With them.
Yeah, messing with them, keeping them guessing, allowing them to feel comfortable.
When I hear the
about
media
anything.
That like feels empowered to question a coach, to me, the media feels empowered because like a player confided in him, and now he thinks he's his best friend.
There's no
question. So now he can go to the player and be like, by the way, I question Matt. Remember that stuff you're talking about?
Yeah.
I question him about it. Do you like me now?
Yeah.
What sneakers do you wear? Can I wear your sneakers? I'll go buy your sneakers. You see, I got the same watch as you. Are we friends now? Tell me more, because I've got your back.
How's your family doing?
Yeah, like it's just a weasel move. A media sitting there questioning, like, hey, why are you practicing outside, stupid?
Yeah, this is another with no sources, right?
Right?
Yeah, I know this one. I love this one. And I heard he went on like forever.
The questioning him isn't like, you know, we're going to Bill Belichick and say, why didn't you punt on 4th and 2? Why'd you go for 4th and 2? These media guys are saying, why do you make these guys run when they make mistakes?
I don't know.
Like,
exactly.
Really? Like, how you coach your team.
Yeah.
They have no right questioning.
It's so irritating. I can get it. And he lets it get to him and he shows it. But under these circumstances, I'm glad he put that guy in his place.
Like, see, I think part of it, though, is that exactly what Lou said, that the players are talking to the media on the side because they really like Jim Caldwell. He was nice to them.
He didn't make what we wanted. And we still won for him.
Exactly. But the organization should have understood that the first year is purging the roster of all of those guys who don't want to go and work. They just want to go and have a good time. Mm. That's the first year. You're going to lose a lot of games, and you got to go let everybody know we're not in winning this thing. The problem was that they made a big deal about the fact that they were bringing him in because they were taking it to the next level and they were a serious contender.
So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for
you. There you go. And it's not. All right, we got a couple of professional questions to ask to Mike Lombardi. Interesting comments on his podcast this week. He will join us coming up next.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
You evaluate your team as a general manager based on how you play on the road. And I just don't see the Patriots going into Kansas City winning a game. I think they're going to have a hard time winning a game no matter where they have to go. I think it's going to be a challenge all the time for them because I think teams can take away Brady. He didn't play well against Tennessee. He felt a lot of pressure. I think it's a tough one. They did not look good. Tennessee dominated that game. Actually, that score might not have been as close. And that's the third straight double-digit loss on the road by the Patriots this year. Maybe not third straight, but it's the third double-digit loss on the road.
All right, that's Mike Lombardi right there in his podcast. He is sponsored by Norfolk Power Equipment and Town Fair Tire. And he joins us right now on the phone, the author of Gridiron Genius. First of all, on the podcast, you got to get a better phone there, Mike.
You know, I don't understand it. We've had some technical problems, and it's really, you're right. We got a new one in today, so hopefully it works out better. But yeah. It was horrible. Yeah, I know. Even my wife complains about it constantly, and she doesn't even want to hear me talk.
So I mean, I can tell you they have all this new technological stuff, and you can sound like you're right there next to the other guy, and, geez, it was awful. All right, so you talked about the Patriots, and yeah. I would say everything you said was legit if you're talking about the Tennessee game. But is this really that big of a problem, or is this a problem that when they face somebody who's familiar with them, and there seems to be a pattern here, losing in Detroit, losing in Tennessee. The Jacksonville game, I think we know what that was all about. That was their Super Bowl. They've fallen apart since, but they had some familiarity with the Patriots from last year's playoff. That it seems to be an understanding of these guys know what to do against the Patriots, or is it a road problem?
Well, I think it's a road problem. I mean, look, you know, teams have known what to do against the Patriots in the past, but they haven't been able to do it. It's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to do it. I think this has been a pattern. I mean, they're 2-3 on the road. I mean, 2013, they were 4-4 on the road and went to Denver and lost in the conference championship game. Typically, the Patriots are really good on the road. And what I said at the beginning of my podcast is I think you do yourself a service as a general manager to evaluate your team on the road, how you play on the road, because that's always the most difficult situation the players will face. Crowd noise, don't have the snap count in your favor, those kind of things. And when you lose by double digits, and let's be honest, you can say whatever, the Jacksonville game wasn't close, they didn't have Edelman. You know, they played well against the Bears, although they gave up 31 points, but they played really well. The Bears game was their best road win. Even the Buffalo win was not a great Patriot typical offensive day.
All right, so you have to be the tiebreaker on this, or I actually explain it. Please define a blitz like we are in the first grade. What is a blitz? What constitutes a blitz?
Well, look, I think to me when six guys are coming, you know, that's a blitz. So when
all right,
so that's it.
So five guys go, it's not a blitz, right?
That's why you're number.
Shut up! Nobody's
statistic
talking to you. Jesus Christ! Shut
answer
up!
Answer it.
Thank you. See why I handle things. See, like if you had me on your staff, no one would ever get out of line. I just smack him around.
Well, this is the argument. Mike's got to know what the argument is.
No,
it's
no.
When
I
Mike
just
came
want
up with
him
a
to
stat
say,
last week.
Right,
that was,
his stats right, don't make any sense.
Yes,
okay,
they do.
But what you're saying, Mike?
Hold on.
So six has to be a blitz, right?
Well, no, because look, they utilize that. The pressure is five. So when they rush more than four, according to stats pass, I can read it to you at the bottom of how they break it down, they consider it five-man pressures. right? Mm-hmm. For me, there's zero pressure, and then there's blitzes. Zero pressure is seven guys coming. Then there's combinations of five-man pressures and six-man pressures.
But for the layperson, are we, so just if we can all kind of start with the same formula?
Five or more?
Five or more?
Yeah, I would say that's correct.
Okay, good. Thank you. More. So I think we have our answer. Thanks. Oh, you can go, Lou.
But that's why his stat didn't work last week, because it was based on five or more. But if you've got five or six in coverage, then it's a different story. In protection, rather. It's a different story. Go ahead.
My question, Mike, would be this, because you're talking about, we all agree, this isn't a great Patriots team, and we base it on what we've seen in the past. So is it Tom having a bad year, or is it the team around him sort of deteriorating because of failed drafts the last 3 years, 4 years?
Well, I think it's health. You know, look, Gronk isn't on that field, and Gronk hasn't, even when he's been on that field, he hasn't been to the Gronk that we all know and we all love, and we all seen him dominate games. So that I think the health factor of their team, I think when you look at it, look, he's been sacked 10 times on the road. And that's been problematic for them. And I think there's some pieces missing. Now, can they get it fixed and turned around? Yeah. But my point was on the podcast was to think that you're going to be able to go into Kansas City in a tough road environment and not play your best football like you did against Tennessee or like you did against Detroit or like you did against Jacksonville and you lose by double digits, that's going to be a huge challenge. And, you know, the thing that's got to bother Bill Belichick the most is – the kicking game has let them down. Mm-hmm. The kicking game is something that is usually the one phase of the game they always win against every team. It let them down in Kansas City even though they won. I mean, last week, the first play of the game, they bring the ball back to the Patriots 30. I mean, that's not how you want to start a road game.
All right, so the other thing is that I heard you talking in your podcast about Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon can't separate. I've been watching this guy since he got here, and there's enough film now to identify. I call him a la-di-da route runner. I feel like he's lazy when he runs his routes.
Technical term.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Do you think he shows much effort? Look, he's missed a lot of football in his career. He's missed a lot of time. And the burst isn't there yet. And you don't see that same. Look, I was with him in 2013, and you can remember the play against Tlaib on the slant. He doesn't look the same as he did there. Does he? That doesn't mean he can't be effective. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he doesn't look to be the same player. And when you're watching him, there's that separation, always what you want from a receiver at the top of the route. And you don't see it with Josh. You see a guy who's building speed, but it isn't explosive speed. And that's always a problem.
Mike, Chris Hogan was out there on the field. They went three wide receivers. He was out there, I think, just as much as Edelman and Gordon. One target. Do you see anything with Hogan? Is it a trust thing with Brady, or is he just not the same player?
You know, no. I think they're just not in rhythm right now. I think Tom has trust Julian so much that I think he looks for him when Gronk's not around. And I think probably, I'm sure, one of the things they've worked on in the bye week this week is to make sure that they're spreading the football around, because there's guys open on the tape. They just got to throw it to them. And sometimes things maybe not go perfectly and Tom gets off the receiver or he thinks the coverage is going to go somewhere. It's not one of these things are never just about one person. They're always about a combination of things that come together, and they haven't found their rhythm yet offensively. They found it at home. They just haven't found it on the road.
All right. We talked about this last week about the difference of the treatment of the national media when it comes toward Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers last night gets up on the scoreboard early in the game, yet in the second half, Green Bay Packers put 3 points on the board. I saw that you jumped on this today because everybody's jumping on the 4th-and-2 play and Mike McCarthy and making a mistake on the 4th-and-2. And nobody is taking Rodgers to task here for 2 sacks late in that game. He claims that in one of them, a third down situation, the ball got stuck to his fingers. Matter of fact, the headline I'm reading up here on ESPN right now is, did Mike McCarthy blow the game for the Packers? Aaron Rodgers supposed to be a generational quarterback. They're 4-5-1, and right now, clearly out of the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's not just Aaron's fault. Aaron had Aaron Jones wide open on the flat, didn't take it, you know, and try to hold the ball and wait for somebody else to come open. And sometimes quarterbacks do that. I mean, look, you know, the biggest play of the Super Bowl, Tom held the ball waiting for Gronk to get open, and that's the play they got stripped on. James White was open over there. Sometimes great quarterbacks decide to do things that you just don't understand. And most of the time, in the case of Brady, it works out. In the case of Rodgers, it does. But to me, look, he had one timeout. He didn't challenge the big play. And I thought it was a catch. And then Buck comes on and Pereira comes on and says it's not a catch.
Yep.
You know, you got people up in the box listening. So you know this. Doesn't challenge that. And you're thinking, okay, he doesn't want to waste his last time out. I understand that, okay? I don't agree with it, but I understand it. But once you don't challenge that and you send your offense back on the field, you have to be in four-down territory. You got to say, hey, look, we're going for it on fourth down no matter what we do. We're going to win the game right here. And, look, the one thing we know, when he punted back, Pete Carroll would have done whatever it took to make sure Rodgers didn't get that ball back. And all he needed was two first downs, and he got it.
Yep.
So, to me, that was a huge – he was operating as if it was 1990. People weren't going to take chances. I think it was really a mistake.
Listen, I agree, and he's going to probably get fired at the end of the season. But I just think it's crazy that they're letting Aaron Rodgers off the hook. If you are that good, you're a generational quarterback, your team can't be 4-5-1. I mean, look around the league, and you just can't be.
I mean, they've had two generational quarterbacks. I wrote about this 2 weeks ago. They've had two generational quarterbacks and have won two Super Bowls. I mean, they've passed the torch from one great quarterback, one Hall of Famer, to another Hall of Famer, and they only have two Super Bowls to support it. So, you know, they have not been able to put the pieces. They're a little Cleveland Cavalier-ish in the sense that they've had a great, great player and haven't been able to give them the right supporting cast to win multiple titles.
All right. We'll get back to football next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving, Mike. We'll talk
to you.
Thanks,
guys. Bye-bye.
See you. Mike Lombardi. We take a quick break, then we get back to your phone calls at 617-779-7.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Is that what he's doing? Because they have the camera on Bob Melvin. He's not smiling. They're just introducing him again. What's going on? Oh, he did. Bob Melvin wins. Bob Melvin wins the American League Manager of the Year. Melvin, 18 first place votes. Cora, 7 first place votes.
The man won Donovan Day Day. And you guys are talking about the man. This is my star. This guy, Jason Kerr, coach of Bonnet.
Smart move by the company. They did not have Bradfoe on the air at 6 o'clock last night. They were fearful that it was going to be the big one if Mookie Betts did not win as MVP. He did, and he ran away with it, as he should run away with it. But you know something? When you really look at this award right now, do we really need a vote?
I mean, it's all
based on war.
Yeah.
And do we really need a vote?
Well, I would say that the fact that JD got a first-place vote,
yeah,
finished fourth.
Guy from AP, right?
You know, I think that takes the war equation out. At some point, they gave up on, you know, Chapman, who finished whatever it was, seventh, and Lindor. I think those guys were ahead of him, even Bregman, maybe. So, no, I was surprised, 28-2, or basically. You got 28 votes. Trout got one, JD got one, runaway, it should have been. He had a great year, and now he's on his way. He's put two of the three Trout-type years together, and now he's on his way to start joining that discussion with Mike Trout.
Yeah, but think about it. Betts needed all of this stuff because normally Mike Trout is the best player in Major League Baseball.
He is.
And he's going to have the best WAR number, usually, right? Betts needed a phenomenal season to be able to do this. I'm not sure Mookie Betts can do this every year. So it really becomes the Mike Trout Award.
Well, no, it's always Mike Trout's award.
Until
somebody takes it from him.
Okay, but what has Mike Trout's team won? They finished 22, 23, and 22 games
behind. It's
just
like LeBron. It's LeBron's award until Russell Westbrook puts an epic season together. Yeah. Or James
and
Harden.
He has a subpar
or
year.
Steph Curry. So it's until Mookie Betts does what he does, or until Jose Altuve hits for power and wins the batting title, until Miguel Cabrera wins a Triple Crown. You want to take the MVP from Mike Trout? I don't care how bad the Angels are. You got to have a great year. Minus that superb great year, he's going to win it.
So here's the deal.
Mookie had a better one.
Here's the deal. And last year, the Red Sox took him to arbitration. We didn't think it was a smart move. I certainly didn't. You don't want to piss this guy off. He's your best player, and he's your best player going forward. We know what the money is going to be. We have a ballpark figure where the money's going to be, right? It'll be over $300 million. They have to re-sign this guy. Don't waste your time trying to do it before he gets to free agency, mm-hmm. because why would he do that? Because who knows? Maybe in 2 years from now, $400 million is the figure, not $300 million.
But also, couldn't it go in the reverse, though?
if he has a bad year?
What if
year?
He has a bad year? What if he has 2 years that are subpar? Like, you know, that last year, that 1 year, that was an outlier. This is basically, he's not as good, so he doesn't
deserve that
money.
Next year, maybe it's 267 like he did the year before?
So, I mean, to me, it's it benefits both sides.
But even that year, he's probably worth $300 million
forward. You know, he was like third in war.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, he's always going to be up there in war.
Right.
Because of what he does in the base pass and defensively.
So here's a question. I don't think any of us know the answer.
But why spend it before you have to?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Well, you don't, other than you just said it. Maybe you try to buy time right now, because if he gets injured in the next couple of years, he won't get the $300 million. So you say to him, hey, listen, we know you're worth $300 million now. We'll give you the $300 million. You could take the gamble and think you're worth $350 or $400 million, but we think you're worth $300 million, and this will cover you in case you get injured the next couple of years.
You know, I was thinking about it last night, because we were talking a lot about it, like, he would never sign an extension. I'm not so sure I agree with that. For the simple reason was, to me, these guys, they want to hit free agency. They'll sit there and they'll look at it and say, okay, this is where you want to hit free agency. If you can, you're a position player. You're a pitcher. You'd love to hit free agency at 29. You know what I mean? Because you're not a 30-year-old pitcher. Right? Position players, I think there's a little more, you can depend on them. The injuries aren't there with the elbows and the shoulders right, like pitchers. But they want to hit free agency as well at like 30 years old, 29, 30 years old, for that 1 8-year deal. That's why I think you could mark it down. I think Bryce Harper and Machado might sign the deal just like Stanton, a 10-year deal, but it's really a 3 or 4-year deal.
It's opt-outs.
And then the 6 years on, I say it's a 4-year deal, and then the 6 at the end, it's an insurance policy.
Right.
I'm going to sign a 4-year deal for $35 million a year, and the rest, if I blow out, if I get hurt, it's sitting there. It's an insurance policy. If not, I'm going to hit free agency again at 30 years old. Mookie's 26, okay? We just turned 26. So then now you can start diving into, hey, you want to wait and be, when you're 28 years old and hit free agency? Then what are you going to do? You going to sign a 10-year deal? You know, and
or is that team going to sign you to 10-year deal?
Yeah, 3-4-year buyout and hit free agency at 32? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do it right now? Why don't we go, it's 8-year deal. We'll give you a buyout in 4 years. So when you're 30 years old, you can buy out of it. You know what I mean? We'll buy out the rest of it. We'll give you the $35 million. It's like Trout. We'll give you the $35 million right now. Or 37, 38, whatever, 4 years, you figure it out. 4 years, 140, you know, with the first 4 years. And the next 4 years is an insurance policy. We all know you'll opt out. And the only way you won't opt out is if you get hurt. So we're willing to give you that insurance policy in the last four.
It makes sense, because the Red Sox gained 2 additional years of control with the guy.
Plus.
That's what you do.
Yeah, so now you extend him a 4-year deal, and you tell Mookie Betts, I'm making you a free agent again at 30, which I think everybody wants. If you're a baseball player, 29, 30 years old, make me a free agent again. I will. I'm going to give you a 4-year deal right now. I'm going to buy 2 extra years. I'm going to give you $35, $37 million a year. 4 years, $1.45, whatever it might be. Something in that ballpark.
But what is arbitration numbers be?
19 to 20 next year. And then the following year, that's the second year arbitration, 19 and a half. That'll be like a record high. It'll be damn close to it. And then the third year, we'll probably get up to about 29.
Yeah. Yeah, because my
so I'm going to give you 35, 36 for the next 4.
Yeah, so my thing is like, all right, so don't do it. But if you have an opportunity to get more money earlier in your life overall, that's more money you can save and more money that you could just grow. Instead of going, you know what, I'm going to wait 2 years. I'm going to do my $19 million this year. I'll do my 20 whatever the next year. Why? Like, if someone's going to offer to pay you more money now while you're younger, then the opportunity, that money, that the ability for that money to grow in the next 4 years is greater than what you get by arbitration
And here's the thing.
I mean, just thinking.
Right.
Yeah, and these position players.
As far as how can you make the most money?
A guy like Machado, a guy like Stanton, a guy like Harper, and a guy like Mookie, and a guy like Trout, they're going to sit there and say they're all hitting this thing at 26 years old. That's how Mookie is right now. That's what Machado, that's where Harper is. They're young players in this league. So they're 26-year-old free agents. Mookie isn't. The other two are. So you want to do like a 3 or 4 year deal, right? Because at 34 years from now, if you think I'm making 35 now, I mean, my prime is 26 to 29, right? In that range, even 30. If you think I'm worth 35 right now, wait till you see what I'm worth when I'm 30. I might be worth 55. Like 4 or 5 years from now, what's that great player in the game going to get?
Yeah, we don't know.
We have no idea. So why do I want to sign an 8-year deal, 9-year deal, 10-year deal, all the way through when I'm 36 years old? No. In 4 years, I'm a $35 million player now. In 4 years, I might be 50. So you sign me to an 8-year deal. You give me a 10-year deal, whatever it is. I want to opt out in 4. Cool. We're going to buy 2 more years of free agency. Then we'll address it again in 4.
So that makes sense, because what it does for him is it protects him. It gives him insurance in case he gets hurt in the next few years. For the Red Sox, it gives them 2 additional years anyway. And let's face it, when he eventually signs 2 years from now, he's still probably
the best.
Yeah.
It's like the players, like once you reach that status, like Mookie is, and it's tough to do. You got to be really special.
Yep.
And you just get total control of your life.
Yeah.
Like no one can sit there and say you back end all your money, give you some guaranteed money, but 7-year deal really means 3-4 maybe, and then they're cutting you because you make too much money, and God forbid you have 6 sacks instead of 10.
Yeah.
Even though you're the same dominant player.
Though for years, baseball did back-ended deals. So as a matter of fact, Manny had one of those.
In other words, you want to look at it right now, it's me like 8. I don't know. They might want 10. Right? But I'm just saying like 8 years, $290 million. And an opt-out after 4. And the first 4 is worth $138. Something, $140. That's 30. $30. Right? For 4 years. Hey, and then you hit the free agent market again. You're not going to be a $34 million player. But, you know, if you get hurt, that's why we're going to give you the extra 4 at 37. I mean, it's just, he's that stupid of a player.
See,
I'll say this. Mookie Betts is Mike Trout. They are the perfect players. When you have a guy like that, you don't let him go. He is driven to be better. He can play center for you. He can play right for you. He can hit leadoff. If you desperately need it at some point, he can hit third or fourth. He's a great teammate. He's unbelievable on the base pass. There isn't a red flag, is the point. Whereas a lot of these guys, there's red flags. There's red flags on Bryce Harper. There's red flags on Manny Machado. There's no red flag on Mookie Betts. You give him what he wants, just like you give Mike Trout what he wants.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's another player, maybe Arenado down in Colorado, but yeah. I want to see him out of Colorado, what he can hit. But still, those 2 players, no red flags. Give him what he wants. Whatever he wants.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Lou. I think you try to be creative about it now. The problem with that is a lot of players just and especially agents, they like the sound of that number. Instead of 290, I like the sound of 315.
Yeah, you know,
I like the sound.
But the smart one, you know, because that gives them street
cred. Yeah, but it's the agent. The agent loves that.
Oh, the agent says, hey, man, you know, I signed this guy for $350. It's just like these NFL contracts, when they release them, it's like, wow, man, you did a great job. And when you really kind of look at the fine print, it's like, you didn't.
But the baseball ones are real. They're much different than yours.
They're doing it right.
Listen, they're much different.
Maybe I'm so mean,
I don't know if they're doing
to baseball
it right.
And baseball players because I'm jealous.
Right. They're doing it right maybe for I'm the jealous. Player. The players are getting it done right. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it works for the fan. Here's
the fan?
Yeah, here's Tony in Bridgewater. Hi, Tony.
Is it right? If I'm the owner of the Red Sox, I just give a checkbook, say, write what you want. Lou, you're 100% right.
Not many. There's only 2 guys in the league you do that to. He's one of them.
He's a 6-tool because between his ears, this guy was born to play baseball. But I called, Glenn, you were going on about Brady, on and on. I mean, we are so spoiled around here. The Patriots are 700 right now. You know what I mean? 7 out of 10 wins. Ooh. To me, this isn't like the draft picks or Edelman, or they don't have Gronk. And all. He's just having a bad year. Mm. Like, you know, Ted Williams had 254 one year. You know, he's just having a bad year. And I don't want to hear this stuff about receivers. They're running the wrong route. He's been underthrowing. And I'm a Brady upswap. He's been underthrowing. It was in the back of the end zone. He threw the ball at the 10-yard line the other day.
Tony, I'll say this. I agree he's not having a great year. But, again, I know you're a big fan of baseball. This isn't like Mookie Betts having a bad year last year, and it's all on him because it's an individual sport. Like, for example, I don't know if you follow the Bruins or not, but this guy, Halak, is having a pretty good year, right? Do you think he's going to be really good in the next few weeks with Carlo, Chara, McAvoy, maybe Miller out? Do you think he's going to be really good, or do you think that's going to affect his game?
He doesn't have an 18-year career in front of him.
No, but I'm just saying, like, that's a position where what's in front of you affects you, affects your game.
I understand that a little, but like when I've seen wide open receivers, he's throwing it like 5 yards in front of him. Like this.
Yeah, but hold on, Tony. I'm not clearly know that Tom Brady is not having, and I've said it a zillion times here, anywhere close to the season he had last year, okay? MVP season or the 12-game season before that. I get all that. But underthrowing receivers, okay, doesn't mean that it was Tom Brady's fault. In many cases, it could be the receiver's fault. There's a reason he's throwing it in the direction of a guy who's been here since week three, who, as Christian said, still doesn't seem to know the route that he's running.
Okay,
it's because the guy's got a great catch radius, and Brady's throwing it in the area because he believes that that's his best chance of the guy catching it.
Glenn, we've gone through this for 18 years, and he's had
no, we haven't. No, we haven't.
And I've never, ever seen him so off in his game.
Sure we have. I've seen Brady. Okay.
No, I think he might miss a receiver. The guy might run around, but every single game he's throwing five or six balls.
But he didn't have Edelman for the first four games. He loses a Gronk. I have no idea what's going on with Hogan.
I think we're making excuses because we're used
maybe,
to excellence.
Maybe.
We're used to excellence, yep. And we can't take it that he's just having a bad year.
No. We're taking it. He's having a bad year. Nobody is denying that.
He isn't
that.
Having a great year.
Right, but how much of it is his fault?
You're
the blame pie. Where's the blame pie?
I'm just saying, it's a tough sport to sit there and say it's not like a corner one-on-one who's getting burned all the time. And even then, you could sit there and say, well, he let him go by him because the safety was supposed to protect him over the top. You don't know that or not.
Right.
You know, it's not like a pitcher who's out there who's just getting hit and got a 5.5 ERA after having a 3.5. You can say that's all on him.
Right.
You know, or a hitter like Mookie, who it's 315, it comes back and it's 260. That's on him. It's not, you know, sometimes maybe a lineup around him. There's little factors, but nothing like a quarterback who's making his money throwing passes, and he's got, what, three or four already that have been in guys' hands that pop up for interceptions?
Yeah.
And we say, well, he's got 7 picks.
Yeah.
Well, you could sit there and say, really, does he? Or does he only have 3? Well,
the NFL is like doing a, you know, like there's betting now, there's fantasy this, there's fantasy that. Like you see it going crazy. If what the NFL really needs to do now is instead of this pro football focus, StatCast, whatever everybody's using, each coach grades their player based on their play.
Yeah, good luck.
No, why not? So listen, if you're going to make it legal, I mean, you think this is something that they haven't talked about? Each coach grades his player, and now every coach will be different based on some guys are harder than others, and then those are the numbers that you use to evaluate talent. Why not?
Because you can't.
Why?
Because you can't have a coach showing bad numbers out there for an individual player and the public seeing it.
A guy gets graded. Why not?
Because you can't.
Wait, so you want real numbers,
no,
right?
No, I'm a coach.
Are we going to make this efficient?
If I'm a coach, I don't give a rat's ass about the real numbers.
It doesn't matter what you care about, Coach.
I don't want it publicly. I don't want it publicized that I'm giving one of my receivers bad grades.
No, but it doesn't matter. It's part of the game
coach
now.
No, it
is. What do you mean? If they're told to,
why,
they
just
will.
Because of gambling?
Money.
What do you mean,
Glenn?
If they're told?
Money. What are you talking about? So if you're you work for me. Okay, because that's the way it will only be. It'll never
be
anywhere
else. Work
and I tell you, listen,
never,
Roger Goodell came down and said, there's just new rules. We got to grade our players, and we got to hand these in. So it can't be just a la-di-da mentality.
I would give every one of my players
I think that's
great
coming.
Grade.
And I'm
no,
sorry
no, no, no.
For
you
that.
Couldn't.
Yes,
couldn't.
I can. Why
you
not?
To, no, you couldn't.
I lie.
You'd be exposed.
You think Belichick is going to give
listen,
real numbers?
Do you
no
think?
No way.
So you think, okay, so you're telling me.
It's the dumbest thing you've said in a week.
No, it's actually, that's going to happen.
No.
They're going to find different ways.
You've actually had a good week.
They're finding
and you're ruining it here on Friday.
To legitimize gambling. And in order to do that, you have to give real-time information.
You really believe a coach is going to sit there and say, okay, I hate these stats, so I'm going to grade because I know whether the receiver screwed up or the quarterback screwed up. I'm going to sit here and give grades on every one of my guys.
When it comes to
hold on, that are going to be publicized.
Yes.
And the public's going to know that the grade on my receiver is coming from the coach? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
That is just idiotic.
When
a quarterback throws an interception.
Do me a favor. Will you ask Bill that question on Monday? Do you have the balls to ask Bill Belichick that question on Monday? Hey, Bill,
this
I got
is
a
Logan?
Great idea for you. I'm going to bring it up to Belichick on Monday and see if
he... Oh, I'm so scared. Ooh. You're going to tattle on me. Ooh. Oh, Ordway. Hey,
I'm going to have Lou ask it.
All right, 617-779-7937. That's our phone number here on the Friday edition. It's the last hour for us here at 20 Guest Street. We are leaving 20 Guest Street. You pissed off we're leaving, boys?
Nope.
Nope.
No, I'm good. Get me out of this place.
Yep.